Hey everyone, it's Sister Amen.
And Sister Kara.
Hey sister, what are we doing today?
We're making an audio about what I've been learning in van life on the gospel road. Because we're in van life because of the gospel. We're not in it just because for no reason.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So it should be an interesting one. And Lord willing, if we get opportunities, we'll be able to do some more.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, as they come up. So I thought I would ask you a question,
okay,
which might lead to being the whole audio or just a few things, and then we have some topics that you were going to discuss and I was going to go along with you and share some ideas, but let's start with this one. So you've seen Brother Tupos and I in van life for quite a while from afar.
Yes.
And so you've kind of seen how things go, and now with you and Brother Zealous and the children in it, do you see a big difference versus watching it versus being in it?
Oh, wow, yes. That there's a huge difference. Like, there are so many things that you don't know until you're in it. Like, there's lots of change always, and moving, and flesh killing is just a part of it.
But
how willing you are in it is going to determine a lot.
Yeah, that's a big key, isn't it? How willing you are to be able to lay down your life, your flesh, quickly.
Yes.
And go with it and realize it's not your own, which we'll talk about, right? And
yes,
flesh killing is another one of the topics, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how to explain it, but the sooner you adjust to a whole lot of change and just adjust to doing things differently, it's totally not like a house. You can't settle down. Your plans can change any minute. In a whole
That would be flexibility, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Those, I think, were the three. Yeah, yeah. And so there is a lot of moving, right?
Yes. There's a lot of moving from place to place. There's a lot of making plans and doing things quickly as you can because, I have time now, so you go do it.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got to do something different or we got to go. Like, for example, we'll give an example here and then maybe we can talk about some more of these as we go. We might be traveling down the road and we see a truck stop that we know has water in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we might drive in there and say, all right, let's hurry up and get the wash our clothes. And Brother Tupos and I have had this. So we go in there and you got to discreetly wash your clothes so you don't, you know, block anybody in the parking and you're not, you just have to, it's something that you have to do discreetly.
Oh, yeah.
And then you do it quickly because you want to get in and out. And there have been times I've been in the middle of washing clothes when we've had to pack up and move. Because we ended up being in the way of like a, what do they call them? The gas trucks that come in and want to fill.
Okay. Oh,
and we didn't know we were there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Things like that. And you've had that too, where it's like last minute. I wasn't even planning on doing that, but we have the opportunity, so let's do it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Then you have to move really fast. Do what you need to do. I know the Lord seems to provide those opportunities, though, for water and to wash clothes.
Yep.
And
you'd be extra thankful for it too.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, let me ask you this. When I first started in van life and I started doing some of the stuff, we were already living off grid and we already kind of knew how to do a lot of that stuff, but it is different in this life. And I was kind of ashamed with myself. I thought I appreciated water and things like that. I thought I did. I had a great appreciation because we'd been off grid for a while. But when I started doing this, I was kind of ashamed that I didn't have the depth of thankfulness that I do now. Because 1 gallon of water is super precious, isn't it?
It is.
That you don't have to pay full price for.
No.
Because in the gas stations, if you get gas like we do, they'll give you water and ice, and it's like such a great blessing, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's not something you take for granted because you have free water and ice. And
yeah, it's not at your fingertips to just turn on a faucet or open up the freezer. You got to
no.
work for it.
You do. You got to work, and you're always looking, and it's, it's a different kind of life, but it's one that you can glorify the Lord in if you're in it for Him.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
We see a lot of people who do this. They're not in it for the Lord. They're in it for their flesh, whatever it is they're doing, sightseeing. Some people choose this life just because they're addicted on addictions and they've lost everything and they choose the life for that reason. We've chosen it. Why?
For the Lord.
Amen.
To spread the gospel.
Amen. Yeah, so we learn a lot in it, don't we?
Yes, I think it's a lot of it is your motivation and your focus, like if you're going to be able to do it or not. Because we do, our focus is spreading the gospel, mm-hmm. our eyes on Christ.
Amen.
And then the rest is just stuff you do so you can do that.
Yeah, stuff you gotta do.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And we can talk about some more of how different it is to do some of our Proverbs 31, Titus 2 duties, you know, at some point and kind of share some of them. For this one, I think maybe we'll start on those topics that we were talking about. Oh, okay, one of them was not my own.
Yes.
I'm using, sister had some notes of three things she was going to talk about. We'll probably have more at some point, but yeah. What would you like to share on that? And then I have some scripture verses to go with.
Van life has just been really making me see that deeper. How I'm not my own and what it actually means to lose your life for Christ. As we were saying, you don't have a house. You're never in one place for long. You're mm-hmm. always moving and going. And you're being... Sometimes the Lord has an appointment for you where you need to realize you're not your own. Your life is not your own. Your time is not your own.
Every minute, yeah.
Every minute is not your own. Your relationships, nothing is your own. It all belongs to the Lord. You no longer have a will that is apart from God. It's no longer about your will. It's about Jesus and what he wants.
Right, and that's typical in any believer's life, but we notice there is a big difference between living in your house and living for the Lord and going out and doing ministry. You still have bits and pieces that are you can be restful and comfortable in, right?
Oh, yes.
And in van life, you're all out for the Lord because that's what you two are doing right now with us, you know?
Yes.
It's like full-time for the Lord. And there's just a little bit between you and the world, whereas in a house, there's thickness, there's walls, there's a stability. But in the van life, you're parked in a parking lot that isn't even yours.
No.
We're welcomed into it by the establishment that allows us to park, and then we do our business in it, like a lot of the Walmarts allow it. So we're welcome there, but it's still not our own, is it?
No, it isn't.
And we can't rest, so even the rest isn't ours. We're resting in the Lord. When we sleep, we're trusting even more in the Lord than when we did in a house.
Yes,
you see more depths of it all, right?
I do.
Yeah. I have a few scripture verses. We know we're not our own, and this kind of cements some of it in. We're bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we're doing that out here. And sisters who don't do this should be doing that in their own life, wherever they are. Glorifying yes. God in your body, in your life. And here's 1 Corinthians 7:23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. So we want to be servants of God, which
Amen.
Is what we were just talking about. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So these are just helping us remind us that we're not our own, we're all for Christ, and we're blessed in van life to have even a deeper stripping away of the flesh.
Yes, amen.
And these become more alive to us, don't they, these scripture verses?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
I love that.
Yeah. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then I have a couple about our reasonable service. So as we do this, we think about these scriptures. You know, when we go through hard times on the road, we might get tired because you're always moving, 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 changing, 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 right?
Yes.
And it's a good thing. It's a good flesh killer. So these scriptures are really good for us to remind ourselves, you know, if you get maybe a little weary, if like physically tired or something, it's like, we're not our own.
Yeah.
This is of God. He'll give us the strength we need, right?
Yes.
To keep going even till midnight or 1 o'clock and then get up in the morning and go again.
Yes, and he does. He always does.
He does, yeah. So Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, right? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then we see Luke 17:10 talks about how the servant has done that which is his duty to do. We're just doing our reasonable service, only ours might be a little bit difficult or more challenging than in a house, but it strips us down more, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it makes you super thankful for when you get to do something like boiling your eggs or cooking pasta ahead of time. That's just, I mean, you're super thankful for those things. So if you live in a house, just realize and appreciate it more.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to talk a little bit about what she's talking about, you know, in van life, we might plan to go to another town, say, tomorrow, and say we might do this or that there. And we might be on the way, and all of a sudden we think, let's do something different, or, hey, maybe an event came up. These are things that happened to Brother Tupos and I. There have been times we've been traveling down the road, and we've changed direction and went another way because we look up and find something that might work out better. Prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit, however it works. So as Titus 2, Proverbs 31, women, we're always looking for ways, whenever there's a little bit of time where you're stopped long enough to where maybe you can plan ahead for the next day. So just in case you got a super busy day, even busier, you might have like some eggs boiled ahead or some pasta or maybe had some time to maybe cook a full meal the night before, use up some of the leftovers.
Yes.
That, right? That's what you're saying?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so it makes you really appreciate what living in a house and having like a regular kind of schedule, you might say, you can kind of get complacent in it and thankful, mm-hmm. but maybe not to the depths without having that. Usually when you lose something, you realize how valuable it was, right?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, so anything else on that topic?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then I think the next one was, they're not in order or anything, losing your life. Yeah, like our life, our will becomes his will.
Yes, losing your life. It's basically, in van life, you have to lose your life in Christ as a believer. Your will, it's no longer your own. And then in van life, it gets stripped down even more to where there's literally like a metal wall between you and the parking lot. You're in a parking lot.
You got to be careful opening up the door. Somebody might rip it off with their car as they're flying through in a parking lot, right?
Yeah.
That's almost happened to us before.
Oh, wow.
You don't want to lose your life that way.
No.
That's not what we're talking about. Yeah.
No, just losing your old life in Christ and also... your life of living in a house.
If you lived, like, even if you lived really simple and didn't have a lot of luxuries compared to living on the go in a van in a parking lot, it was kind of a little bit more luxurious.
Yes.
More slower paced, more, well, you could turn the water on, you could turn the heat on, you could turn the cool on, you could just flick lights on and off.
Yeah.
You know, and it stays right where it is put when you go to the store. You know, I know these are too, but we have to drive our house wherever it is that we have to go.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? We have to secure everything down
before you even start the
van.
You better make sure everything's down on the floor or else you're driving down the road and something goes crash and your husband's like, what was that?
It'll be on the floor if you don't take care of it, right?
Yeah, so, it'll be.
Yeah, and you've been in it how long now, roughly?
I think a month.
Okay.
I think
you learned quite a bit since then.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have. We've learned a lot. It stretches you and grows you and I know it helps you be more fit for the work of the ministry, I would say, so far.
Yeah. This life almost makes you like a skeleton without any flesh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It strips away so much flesh.
It does.
I mean, we're never going to be done stripping away the flesh, but this life really helps.
It helps put the flesh down.
A lot. Oh, yeah.
A lot, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. Because if you don't, you're going to be pretty miserable.
You are.
It's not going to work.
No.
No. Especially married, living in a little tiny box.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's none of this, and I'm not saying this would be a good thing anyway, but there's none of this having to have your own space to get over an issue, you got to face it and deal with it face to face, right?
Yes.
So that's good. That helps really kill some flesh.
It does. It does. It shows you a lot of things in van life, show you exactly what, God might use it to root out some deep-rooted things in you, in your flesh, that you didn't know you had.
It can show you who you really are.
Yes, yes.
That you might not have known. Yeah, because you can kind of, in a house, maybe husbands and wives, if there gets to be some tension or something, you can go to the other room and keep yourself busy or something. That don't work here.
No.
You got to face it.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes you're facing inward to go, did I do this? Is there something I could do differently?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of evaluate, wait, have I not been so cheerful in this moving and going? And have I been expressing any displeasure that might cause issues, you know?
Yeah.
How we reflect on ourselves. Even if it wasn't our issue or something, we still do that to make sure that we're blameless and faultless, right? And see what we can do to make peace.
Yes, to be. Yeah. Yeah.
And being helpers with the husband, we want to try it because they have a great responsibility. They're dragging their family, their wives, in your case with children, down mm-hmm. the road.
Yes.
Right? So we want to do the best we can to help them in what they have to do, because it is a great responsibility.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we have it and they do too.
Yeah, we do. And you never want to have an unthankful heart towards, like, at any time.
Right.
I mean, you just, even if your plans change, you were planning something, you have to be flexible and willing to go with whatever the Lord has. And
right. Amen.
Yeah.
And flexibility will be the next one. I was going to read a couple of scripture verses on losing your life. This comes to more light to us as we're out here. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And that's talking about eternal life, but we're losing our life for Christ.
Yeah.
Saints do that. We're losing even more physical life out here, which is good. We don't need the luxury of the world. John 12:25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize or do you notice this? As you're out here getting stripped away, does it pull you out of the world and any maybe liking of it, comfort of it? Does it kind of pull you out and set you more like a stranger and your focus more on the kingdom?
Yes, and you know deeper what being a stranger and a pilgrim actually means.
Exactly.
Because there's literally no place where your foot can rest for long.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep moving, and then it can either wear you down and make you tired or want to go back to your house. Or if you have your eyes on Christ and you're walking in the Spirit, it makes you thankful to be able to see with more clarity.
Right. Right. Yeah, you definitely want to be thankful for it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done so much for us. How can we not be willing to die for him?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Losing our life. It's just that, as we were talking, it's just a reasonable service because he left heaven for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being more of strangers and pilgrims. So when you become a born-again child of God, and as for us women, as we're talking to sisters and maybe seekers out there, if your insides have changed, your whole life changes. And one of those is how you look.
Yes.
And how you dress and cover your head, how you act, how you talk. Things are different there, and you become a stranger. But now put that in the van life where we are, on the road life, whether it's somebody lives in an RV or a car, it doesn't matter. We just happen to be in vans. You become more of a stranger, and you kind of get pushed down into the lower underbelly group, you know, because you're sleeping in parking lots next to people who are probably doing drugs and drinking. We see it.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things we see out here. And so the world will put us in that category too, you know, the ones that they look down on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the way we dress and we look a little different, and the men wearing their longer untucked shirts and stuff kind of makes them look a little different too, and the beards, maybe some people might think of it as unkept.
Yeah.
And that's the way they look at some of the beggars and stuff. And so when we go on the corners and fly signs, sometimes they think we might be beggars.
Yes. Yep.
Even though we're not asking for money. And both of our websites say no donations allowed. We don't take people's money. Just so we got that on record here. We don't do that. Not like the modern pastors do.
No.
No. So, did I read the scriptures for losing life? I did read a couple. Oh, okay. Here's one I wanted. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are we denying ourselves out here?
Yes, a lot.
That's awesome. I love that. We're denying ourselves things that we didn't really need in the first place, did we?
No, we didn't, because you just need food and raiment.
And be content in it, right?
And we have a van and lots of other stuff besides
we do.
Food
we
and
have
raiment.
Great blessings,
yeah.
Even more so than they did back when we're reading what was written.
Yes.
In the biblical times,
yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then, we're going to be reproached for his name. Hebrews 13:12-13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And that's what we're doing out here. That's not our focus. We're out here to preach the gospel, but we're reproached for his name, aren't we?
Yes, it's something that happens.
Yep. It's something,
Adversity.
Amen. And then, we're servants for him. Matthew 20:25-28, but Jesus called unto him and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. This part right here. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he came to minister. We're not out here to be ministered unto. We're out here to minister to, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
To go and seek the lost and glorify God.
And yes, because Jesus commanded that.
Amen.
And go forth and preach
right.
The gospel.
Yeah. And then how about, unless you had anything else on that topic?
No, that's all.
Okay, and then I think the last one that we had for this audio would be flexibility. We kind of touched on some of that, yeah.
We did, but that's okay. You have to have flexibility in van life. You need to, or it's going to be really miserable.
Yeah, we kind of talked about how plans change, packing up. You might think, we might have just a little bit of a slower morning. And then it's not so slow and you got to hurry up and get going and pack up.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between just grabbing your purse, getting the children, and maybe grabbing a bag of whatever you already had made up and going to the store. You can't just grab them, put them in the vehicle and go in the store like if you're in a house.
Oh, no.
Now in the van, you got to pack up your whole house, secure it. Make sure you got parking, get your where you're going, what time you're going to be there, and where you're going to be going afterwards, and
lots of planning ahead, thinking ahead, trying to anyways, but
right, because you got to know where you're going to park the next day.
Yes,
or that night.
Do. Yeah.
Because here's something a lot of people don't realize. You know, you can't always just go to a parking lot that welcomes you because it's like kind of limited. They don't want people setting up their house there.
No.
It's like one night, maybe two. Some of them you might be able to do some more. You know, they some welcome that. But it's generally almost every night it's a move.
It's somewhere else, yes.
Even if it's in the same town, you might go from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's awesome because we always end up witnessing. It keeps us moving around like they did. Like Jesus said, go.
Yeah, I did say set, so.
And so here I was going to read Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Amen.
We don't have a place, like you said, to put our foot very long.
No. It's always changing and moving and going and seeing what the Lord would have you do. It's never sitting back. Kind of, we're not supposed to sit back and be lax in our faith life.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
And this helps keep you kind of like on the edge.
Yes.
Always alert. Always watching. Looking.
Yeah.
Discerning. Seeing. Because we end up in a lot of different situations, don't we?
Yeah,
we different do. Cultures, different parts of town. We'll just kind of touch on some of them. Strange yeah. places, maybe some that might make it a little uneasy, some that are more comfortable, you know. And yeah. so we be flexible in all that and just lay our life down for him. Here, we're talking about going. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. So he sends us forth into the world, right?
Yeah.
Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And through all that, we're leaving our peace and safety behind, right?
We are.
Our peace and safety is in Christ, but when you live in a house, you can kind of build up that little bit of peace and safety there, right?
Yeah.
Comfort, refuge. Mm-hmm. So we leave a lot of that here because we don't know who's standing on the other side of the door or who's parked right next to us.
No, you don't.
Right?
You...
It makes me think about one of the places Brother Tupos and I parked in. He saw a man with a backpack and a baseball bat sticking out of his backpack walking through the parking lot. That town has a lot of windows that are all covered up with plastic on their vehicles.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means maybe we should move.
That, or if you can't, you just trust in the Lord because he's bigger than it all, right?
Yeah, he is.
And then what do we always say? If the Lord allows it, then we're okay with it.
You need to be.
Yeah. We don't have a choice, do we?
No. You need to be because that comes back to you're not your own. Like,
yep.
How serious are you in losing your life? You need to be. It's either all in for Christ or else why are you even doing it or you're not.
Right. And this life that we have, it kind of cuts a lot of the world from us. And when I say world, I don't even mean the bad part of it. The life that we had before, it cuts our life, our desires, our affections, our attention. And it allows us to be free to focus on the things of God. Stripping all that flesh down. It's yeah. like disciplining children. You strip the flesh down from them, and they're more at peace and content, right?
Yeah, they are. Yes.
Same with adults. Strip that flesh down, and you'd be more at peace and focus on the things of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I just have two more scripture verses here to kind of wrap us up. Patience. Do we need that?
Oh, yes, you do. A lot of it. Cheerful endurance. Pressing through.
Right. Right. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
And you need patience.
Right. Amen. Mm. And you said that cheerful endurance, like that's what patience is. Yeah. And then James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The only thing we want is what? The Lord.
Lord. Yes.
And to do his will. Preach the gospel, maybe help somebody out there who has ears and eyes
to see. Amen. Yeah. And if we wouldn't be out here, there's been seekers that we would never have met if we would have been sitting still in the house or
right.
not going forth to preach the gospel.
So you in a month, Brother Tupos and I think I just asked him the other day, I think he said we've been doing it full time 4 years. I haven't looked, I can't remember. So you in a month, can you count how many people you've witnessed to since you've been on the road?
No, there's been a lot.
So many you can't even count.
No, I couldn't. I don't know where I'd even start.
Yeah.
There's just so many that happen that you either forget, even if it's something short.
Yeah.
But,
so you couldn't even put those in a book out of your memory. Imagine how many that's going to be in, like, us right now.
Four years. Yeah.
And then, Lord willing, if there's more...
Yeah.
You know, so while you have that opportunity, what I see in you and Brother Zelos is every day you're focused on the kingdom, you're focused on sharing the truth, you're not sitting back, you're not lax, you're going. And I see both of you really thriving in this. The Lord has given you much to overcome and you've overcome it.
Well, glory to God, because that is literally because it is. It's all of him, and it's you need to keep your eyes on Christ.
Amen.
Because he's the one that's going to pull you through.
Amen. We can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
All right. I think that's pretty good for this. Anything else?
No, that was it. Just glory to God.
Amen.
And may God be praised.